Hi, Year 4, it's Mr. Marriott here with the second instalment of The Butterfly Lion by Michael Morpurgo. So I'm going to read you Chapter 2 today, but before we start that, did you come across any words in the last chapter that you thought, better go away and find out what that was? Did anyone find out what chilblains were? Not very nice. Or semolina pudding? I wonder why he didn't like semolina pudding. Did anyone find out why he was studying Latin? What was Latin? And did anyone have any thoughts on Basher Beaumont? What did you think of him as a character? Right, so we left our character escaping from boarding school and he was contemplating what to do next. So, chapter 2, Strange Meeting. I was still deciding which direction to take when I heard a voice from behind me. "Who are you? What do you want?" I turned. "Who are you?" she asked again. The old lady who stood before me was no bigger than I was. She scrutinised me from under the shadow of her dripping straw hat. She had piercing, dark eyes that I did not want to look into. "I didn't think it would rain," she said, her voice gentler. "Lost, are you?" I said nothing. She had a dog on a leash at her side, a big dog. There was an ominous growl in his throat and his hackles were all up along his back. She smiled. "The dog says you're on private property," she went on, pointing her stick at me accusingly. She edged aside my raincoat with the end of her stick. "Run away from school, did you? Well, if it's anything like it used to be, I can't say I blame you. But we can't just stand here in the rain, can we? You'd better come inside. We'll give him some tea, shall we, Jack? Don't you worry about Jack. He's all bark and no bite." Looking at Jack, I found that hard to believe. I don't know why, but I never for one moment thought of running off. I often wondered later why I went with her so readily. I think it was because she expected me to, willed me to somehow. I followed the old lady and her dog up to the house, which was huge as my school. It looked as if it had grown out of the ground. There was hardly a brick or a stone or a tile to be seen. The entire building was smothered in red creeper, and there were a dozen ivy-clad chimneys sprouting skywards from the roof. We sat down close to the stove in a vast, vaulted kitchen. "The kitchen's always the warmest place," she said, opening the oven door. "We'll have to dry you out in no time." "Scones," she went on, bending down with some difficulty and reaching inside. "I always have scones on a Sunday. And tea to wash it down. All right for you?" She went on chatting away as she busied herself with the kettle and the teapot. The dog eyed me all the while from his basket, unblinking. "I was just thinking," she said. "You'll be the first young man I've had inside this house since Bertie." She was silent for a while. The smell of the scones wafted through the kitchen. I ate three before I even touched my tea. They were sweet and crumbly and succulent with melting butter. She talked on merrily again to me, to the dog. I wasn't sure which. I wasn't really listening. I was looking out of the window behind her. The sun was bursting through the clouds and lighting the hillside. A perfect rainbow arched through the sky. But miraculous though it was, it wasn't the rainbow that fascinated me. Somehow the clouds were casting a strange shadow over the hillside. A shadow, the shape of a lion roaring like the one over the archway. "Sun's come out," said the old lady, offering me another scone. I took it eagerly. "Always does, you know. It may be difficult to remember sometimes, but there's always sun behind the clouds, and the clouds do go in the end, honestly." She watched me eat, a smile on her face that warmed me to the bone. "Don't think I want you to go, because I don't. Nice to see a boy eat so well, nice to have company. But all the same, I'd better get you back to school after you've had your tea, hadn't I? You'll only be in trouble otherwise. Mustn't run off, you know. You've got to stick it out. See things through. Do what's got to be done, no matter what." She was looking out of the window as she spoke. My Bertie taught me that, bless him. Or maybe I taught him. I can't remember now. And she went on talking and talking, but my mind was elsewhere again. The lion on the hillside was still there, but now he was blue and shimmering in the sunlight. It was as if he were breathing, as if he were alive. It wasn't a shadow anymore. No shadow's blue. "No, you're not seeing things," the old lady said. "It's not magic. He's real enough. He's our lion, Bertie's and mine. He's our butterfly lion." "What do you mean?" I asked. She looked at me long and hard. "I'll tell you if you like," she said. "Would you like to know? Would you really like to know?" I nodded. "Have another scone and another cup of tea. Then I'll take you to Africa, where our lion came from, where my Bertie came from too. Bit of a story, I can tell you. You ever been to Africa?" "No," I replied. "Well, you're going," she said. "We're both going." Suddenly, I wasn't hungry anymore. All I wanted now was to hear her story. She sat back in her chair, gazing out of the window. She told it slowly, thinking before each sentence. And all the while, she never took her eyes off the butterfly lion. And neither did I. I hope you enjoyed that chapter in year four. I did. I thought it was quite interesting. I can't wait to hear the old lady's story. Again, you might want to think about some of the words that were used today. And if there's any that you think, oh, that was interesting, maybe ask someone at home if they can explain it. Or even look them up yourself. Okay, year four, I hope you have a lovely couple of days. And I'll be back again soon with the third chapter of The Butterfly Lion.